Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Give the Answers to Life's Questions, the show that I was guided to create so that you would have a place to call to get the answers from your guidance instead of the answers that you create from your mind. So if you have questions, then give me a call. The number is 646-716-5045. That's 646-716-5045. You can also ask questions if you are signed in the chat room. If you're not signed in, unfortunately, it assumes you're a guest and it doesn't let you do anything. But if you do sign in, feel free to type in your questions. Today's show is about overwhelm, and I'm never really sure exactly what's going to come of the subject matter that I've been guided to put in there. But we'll find out. So let's go ahead and go to our first caller from area code 229. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Barbara. Thank you for taking my call. It's Melvin.
How are you, Melvin?
Hey, yes, ma'am. I did get your we friends on Facebook down, and I got the mantra that you sent me, and I'm using it. And I thank
well, good.
You.
So have you noticed a difference?
Yes, ma'am. It's working. Yes, ma'am. It's coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. I just wanted to say that to you. I just wanted to ask you, I have some concerns about actually two things, but first I just wanted to ask you about this. It's three females that I think they are interested in me, and I'm definitely interested in them, but I don't know which one would be the most appropriate one for me. And their names are, one of them is named Dominique, and the other one is Bobby, and the other one is Joyce.
And do you have a problem with being friends with all three of them, going out, having fun, getting to know all of them?
No, I don't. I haven't asked them out. Only one I asked out was Joyce, and she said she'll think about it because she's nurturing her mother. Her mother's ill. So, but I don't have a problem asking them out, but I just want to know they work on my job, and I don't want to get myself in the kind of trouble approaching them off the job and either on the job. Well, two of them is friends of me on Facebook, Bobby and Joyce. We are friends on Facebook, but not Dominique.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you just going out, having fun, doing fun things, you know, going out to dinner, going bowling, going to the movies, whatever it is, just the same as you would do with a guy friend. At this point, you're just getting to know them, and they're just getting to know you. So guidance is not going to tell me which one of them is going to be best for you, because they say that's your choice, not theirs. So get to know them. Allow yourself to have fun, to live life without any fear about, oh, my gosh, what happens if this goes wrong and things at the job and blah, 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 because you don't need to go there. Just do it for the fun of it.
Okay. Just do it for the fun of it and just see what happens.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
This is part of your learning to just relax and not be so worried about what if. So
right. This
is an important thing for you to do. Just relax. Have fun. And then when you decide whichever one you decide you want to be with, when it becomes more serious, then you can make the necessary changes to the relationship. But until then, you're just having fun.
Right. Now, I just want to, like, you can pick up vibes of people, like, kind of, you know, interested or like you as a friend and maybe should have worded my question a little different, but based on what I said, what you just said is like, experience is not going to, you know, let me know which one is more interested than the other. So
no, they don't really they don't really see why you're even asking that question. Because it's all about just living your life, just going forward and having fun.
Okay.
Things are not supposed to be so serious. You're thinking of serious thoughts, you know, which one has the most potential for having this wonderful relationship. You're going to end up with them for the rest of your life and seeing yourself sitting on the porch in rocking chairs when you're in your 90s or whatever. And your guidance is totally wanting you to let that go.
Okay. Well, I just want to know, okay, I see what you're saying. I just want to know how they feel about me.
The only
way
to find out is to ask them. Go out with them. Have some fun with them. You'll know whether or not they like you.
Right. Okay. All right. I thank you for that.
You're welcome. So what was the other thing?
The other thing is, you know, I think I talked to you on my job. I got injured on my job, and and I hurt myself, you know, and I'm going through physical therapy and all of that. But this weekend, I was sent home by my supervisor, and I had to go back to talk to management. To come back to work. So now they want me to come back to work tomorrow night. So I had to go out and get me an attorney to help me because I'm not getting the right treatment that I need right now because of the MRI.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, how this is going to unfold for me moving forward with this injury and settlement or whatever you can get on that for me.
Well, what I'm hearing is that this is all about you standing in your power, doing what you feel is right for you, trusting your intuition, your guidance, and making the choices that are really for your highest good. There was a time in your life when you were always taking everything into consideration for everybody else, and it had to be something that would work out for everybody before you could actually get what was coming to you. You were always putting yourself last, basically, is what they're telling me, and that is changing, and that's a good thing to change. So now you are putting yourself first. you are watching out for you. You are getting the attorney that you needed to get so that this can be resolved in a way that it's going to come out where you are going to get what you are meant to get out of it. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful that you are standing in your power now, and I think that that's fabulous. Okay, let me see if they're going to tell me anything about the outcome. They say it doesn't really matter how it ends up. It's the whole process that's important. It's the fact that you are recognizing that you do have power. It is the fact that you are getting the assistance that is going to allow this to come to an outcome that you will benefit from. You are doing a great job. They are really proud of you. Keep doing what you know is right for you, and don't take the other people's crap. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Definitely. Okay, Ms. Barbara, thank you so much. That's so true.
You are welcome. And see, you are just changing so much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too, Melvin. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller is from area code 706. Hi, who's this?
This is Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mary. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was wondering, are we going to be able to purchase this house, the house that we're living in, within the next year?
Okay, let's see what they want to say about that. The first question I'm hearing is, do you really want to purchase that house?
Well, I do. My husband doesn't.
Okay, that's why there's that mixed feelings about it. So what makes it so wonderful that you want it and so awful that he doesn't?
I just like the house. Yeah, and I like the location. It's on a river. It's not like a huge, big river, but it's our little river.
Okay.
And it's very peaceful to me. It feels, you know, just that. But that's just, you know, that's, I've liked the house from the first time I've seen it. He's just been, you know, like, he doesn't think the house, he thinks that it's a albatross, I think is how we put it.
Okay.
Around your neck. I don't know why he, you know, and he does do, I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be done to the house, you know. It's just, and we're out, you know, we're out. It's kind of, it's in the country, you know, it's, and I think he likes to be a little bit closer to in, and I think that's why he doesn't like it.
Okay. So I get a strong sense that for you, this house feels like home. For him, it feels like isolation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. That's an interesting situation. Let's see what guidance wants to say about that. So is there anything that could make the home feel like home to him?
Well, I think it would be what he would want to do, you know, what he would like to do with the house. You know, I think that, I mean, it needs, you know, I don't know what it would take to make him, you know, really take a hold of the house the way that I have. But I don't know the answer to that.
You might want to ask him that question. Ask him if there's anything that could be done that would make that house someplace he would want to live.
I mean, at times he talks about like he really enjoys the house, and then he gets off onto this tangent that, you know, there's so much that needs to be done to this house and this, that, and the other, and, you know, the upkeep on, because it's on the river, and, you know, he doesn't have the time, and but all those things can be, you know, remedied by, you know, it's not like we have a whole lot of yard. I mean, because we don't. I mean, we have,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, there's, I don't know. I mean, it only took us 7 years to buy a sofa when we first got married, so.
So in 30 years or so, you should be able to get a house.
Right, and I mean, I've, you know, it's just, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when he went out of town, I just finally bought the stupid, I've bought what I wanted, you know, and it was just, came home, it was there, what, you know, what was he going to do? So, but, yeah. I think it's the price
okay.
tag on the house, and I think that he doesn't, and he's right, on the price that they're asking for the house or the owner wants for the house is ridiculous. And, but we've lived here for 6 years, and I feel that, you know, I think that we could probably get the house for about under $300,000. The asking price on the
okay.
house is $450,000.
So it is way overpriced.
Yeah, it is. So what needs to be done to it? Because he hasn't done anything to the house. It's an older man who owns the house, and he hasn't done anything to the house. And it's
so
going to need
had
a new
the house. If you had the house inspected and had a list of all of the things that needed to be done, you think you would actually lower the price to what the house is actually worth?
Well, I think that no one has shown interest in the house at all. And his wife passed away upstairs, at the top of the stairs. He walked out of the house shortly after that, and he turned the key. He didn't want, and he never came back in the house again.
Yeah.
She's in this house.
And he doesn't actually want that house.
No, he doesn't. He wants.
He doesn't actually want to let it go, because otherwise he'd price it at a price where someone would be willing to pay for it.
Well, I think he's greedy. I think he just thinks he can get this amount of money for it. And he's never going to get that kind of money for this house. I would be shocked if somebody would pay that because of what entails it. I mean, it doesn't show as that type of, you know, it doesn't show that way. It
right.
shows, you know, it's basically, he thinks because of the river, it, you know, it's worth that amount of money. I mean, he would give us he wouldn't charge. I mean, I think he would come in around, you know, he told me that he'd give it to us for, like, you know, under $400,000. But, you know, it's just what needs to be done to the house.
Right.
And it's almost like when people come in, like, he brought somebody over. It was a lady friend of his. And to just show her the outside of the house, and she felt very uncomfortable. She said that there was somebody that was looking out of the office, you know, out of the, it's an office, French doors on the, you know, when they were on, looking at the river, the office, you look out onto the river. And she said there was somebody that was standing looking at her outside that window, you know, and from the house. Well, we weren't home.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody here. I know it was Betty. You know. I mean because we'll be like sitting, like I was downstairs in the kitchen, and you know Bruce said, "What did you say?" And I said, it's hard to hear, right? Because I'm downstairs,
mm-hmm.
he's upstairs, and finally he comes to the top of the stairs. He said, "Did you say something?" I said, "No, I didn't say anything. I've been down here cooking." So, you know that she's here. And I know that she's very particular. And, I mean, the house showed one time. And when people, one lady said, I'm not going upstairs. I really don't want to go upstairs. So, you know what I mean?
So your husband gets along okay with Betty?
Yeah, I think a couple of times, you know, I think there's been an issue. But it's when he's not been, you know, he's in one of his moods. You know, one time, you know,
okay.
He got upset, and the next thing I know, you know, he's walking down the stairs, and he all of a sudden, you know, he's down on the floor.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think that she doesn't like it when he gets that temperament about him, and I
right.
think that, you know, so now. You know, I don't think, like the other night, he said, I wasn't feeling well, and I went to bed early. I went upstairs, I went to bed, and I was up and down all night long. And so finally I settled in about 3:30, right? And
mm-hmm.
so I told him the next morning, I said, boy, my stomach is absolutely killing me, you know, because it was just sore from, you know, being sick. And I was just like, so he said, well, I figured you settled down about 3:30, he said, because you shut the hallway light off and you shut, you know, he was sleeping downstairs. He says, you shut the bedroom door. And I said, no, I didn't. He said, don't tell me that. But I didn't. I wasn't even down. I didn't even go back downstairs. You know, I just kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just finally just, fell asleep, so I didn't go downstairs all night, so that wasn't me who shut the light off, and it wasn't me who shut the bedroom door. So
if you offer to have Betty released from the house, you think he would be more willing to purchase the house at a reasonable price?
Do you think that's the reason why he doesn't want to purchase the house?
I get the feeling that that's part of it.
Well, it could be my mother, too, or my father.
So you invite all kinds of ghosts to just come and hang out with you, huh?
Well, I know my mom's around me, and I know my dad's around me, and because of the certain things,
yeah.
like, you know, I can... Like, one time I was really upset, and I was, you know, you have those crying jacks on, and I was having one of those nights, and I just felt, you know, someone do, like, around this my face, like my dad used to do with my hair when he would try to wake me up, or when
mm-hmm.
I wasn't feeling well, he would run his fingers, like his middle finger, like around my forehead, tracing my hairline. And it was just a very gentle touch, and then he would always rest his hand on my face, like cup my hand, his hand to my face. So I knew it was my dad because of, you know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You just know the touch.
Yeah.
So
right.
you know. anyways, it could be any of the three.
Sounds like you've got a busy house.
But I mean, they, you know, Mom and Dad have been with me forever. I don't care where we
right.
are. I mean, I think Betty wants this house to be ours. I don't think she wants anybody else in this house. And I honestly think they have a way of making things not being seen because they don't want it to be seen.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. So I would suggest talking to your husband about having the house inspected, going to the owner with a list of the things that need to be fixed, and telling him the price that you're willing to pay. In some inspections, they'll give you an idea of how much it would cost to do the fixes that need to be done. And if they are willing to tell you that, then you can use it as, you know, reasons for lowering the price or giving the owner the option of having everything fixed, which would make the house maybe worth the price. although
well, he's not going to do that.
The price to begin with. So I just get that even if it was fixed, he's still overpricing the house.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do anything on the. He won't do anything like that. Fred's not going
to
do.
Oh, I didn't expect him to actually fix anything.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
just a bargaining tool.
Okay.
You can say, okay, if we fix it, this is how much it's going to cost. If you don't agree with this, you go ahead and fix it, and then we'll talk about the price. And he won't fix it. People who are selling properties don't usually fix. They usually lower the price.
Well, he's 88 years old.
And did they have children?
They do, but no one is interested in the house.
I'm just wondering who it would pass to once he's died.
I think it would be the son that is here, and he thinks that, because he was sitting outside one time, they came, there was a big wasp, you know, those big nests, that the, I guess they're wasp nests, they're, you know, they look like a cone,
mm-hmm.
and it was up,
yeah.
And so he was coming in, you know, to get that down. And Fred's here, and he says to me, the young boy, he said, we're about the same age. He said, so has my mom been raising havoc with you in the house? I said, actually, she's not a bad roommate. He says, I don't know why my dad just doesn't be reasonable and just, you know, let you have the house for like, you know, and he just shot this number. And it was in the 200s. I don't know why he's being so. He should just, like, whatever you guys want, just, you know, work it out with you where you just, you know, he holds the mortgage or whatever, or, you know, if, you know, because at that time we're not in a position right now to do that. But we will be in a position, I would say, probably within the year to be able to do something. So I just, you know, but see, if it would go, he wouldn't have a problem with dealing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think because he just wants to, nobody wants to. I said, do you want to come in? And he said, no, none of the kids want to come in here. So I don't know.
Well, I think you should talk to your husband and see, would you be willing to have Betty gone once you own the house, or is she someone you want to keep around?
Well, I want to be careful what I'm saying right now. She doesn't bother me.
Okay.
She doesn't. I mean, there are other things that have happened. We live on the trail of tears where it started. And there's a lot of things. It's a very spiritual area right here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where there's pluses, there's negatives.
Right.
Because of what happened. You know, I've never not been comfortable with something like that, because I've always been around it my entire life. My husband has only experienced that since he's been married to me. So, you know, I think it scares him a little bit. It makes him uneasy. But I just told him, I said, you know, she's not bad. I mean, she's not, you know what I mean? She's not evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not. I just think that she's waiting for Fred, and I think when Fred's gone, I think that she'll go. But I think she's waiting for. I think she's waiting for him. And if he comes in the house and he sits downstairs, he'll sit in the recliner, which is a dead shot, and he will not. He'll glance up at the top, and then he gets very, like, he can't stay in this house more than 10 minutes, 15
right.
at the max, and he'll wait. He'll go outside, but he doesn't. He's, you know.
I get that he's got a lot of guilt about her and that house. I wonder
really?
what they I wonder what happened in that house.
I don't know. I know that she stayed upstairs. I mean, I know that her office was upstairs and she slept upstairs and he slept downstairs. And it's funny, since we've moved into this house, I sleep more upstairs than I do downstairs.
So you two are kind of kindred spirits.
Well, I feel like this has been a healing spot for me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Trying spiritually, healing, going, because, the last several years have been rough, and I think that, things are lining up on my career side of it, and that's supposed to be, in full force, I would hope, by the fall, and then we're moving forward on that, but I just think I had to, you have a space where you need to be at a certain point, and I think this is where it was at, and I think that's probably why I feel so comfortable here.
Right.
And plus, the water washes the negative with the river. It's very, water is good.
Right. It's healing and soothing to you.
Yes. And it's healing and soothing for him when he's outside.
Right.
When he's working in the yard out there, it calms him down. Like if he's been stressed or something about, his side of, what he does, and he goes out there, he'll go outside and he starts working and he works himself through it.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're much more open to the house and the energy of the house and the energy of her and all that entails. And he's not as open to it. So definitely talk to him about,
okay,
is there a possibility that, that something could be done that would make him more comfortable with living there? Because I get the feeling that if anything ever happened to you, the first thing he'd do is pack up and go. So,
well, that's true. He would. But he would do that regardless of where we were at. I don't think he'd stay around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I understand what you're saying.
But I, And he seems to think, do you see him traveling more with his work?
I think he might have opportunities to do so if that's something that he chooses to do.
Yeah, because the company they're looking for, the company he's with, it's going to be like an investor is going to be taking over the company, but, that's the potential of it. The players will stay the same, but I think it, I think that's the other thing that he was concerned that he would have a place in this new venture.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying that he'll have the opportunity for more travel. And then he'll get to decide whether or not that's something he actually wants to experience.
Okay. All right. Well, I think,
you might want to help him have more clarity about what it is he actually wants in his life.
I think he wants, I know that he wants to be able to be back where we were financially. And I think this opportunity, he will receive a percentage of the sale of the company. And then the opportunity for them to stay on to run the company. And he said he only wants 5 more years. you know,
right.
you know, that, and then he would like to be able to just, you know, kick back at that point. And on my side of the business, I know mine, I mean, I know I'm meeting with my client the, like the first part of September, and I'm sure that's going to go forward. It's all lining up in that direction. You know, it's just getting, it's just signing the contracts. And, and that's the other thing, you know, he said, you know, if this other company purchases that, you know, depending on where they're going to put the facility at, in which port, if it's going to be Baltimore, Savannah, Jacksonville, or I think some other place like off to the, I don't know if Alabama or something, but I want to say it's more east that they're
mm-hmm.
looking at. If it's, you know, if it's Savannah or if it's Jacksonville, he can travel. He doesn't know if they're going to want him to relocate or if he can do it just by traveling. And I think that's because he knows mine is getting in place and he doesn't know what he should. I think that's where he's at. He doesn't, because he knows that mine is something that is going to be going on for a while. And, you know, my involvement in this, you know, in this project, that I have to stay within the area that I'm at, you know, and I think he's
mm-hmm.
worried that we're going to have to separate. And so if they're going to force him to move, then that's what. And so I said to him, well, you can always get a condo or something, and you just stay there, and then, you know, come home on the weekends or whatever. And when the condo's not in use, I said, we rent it out to tourists. You know, I mean.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if that's what it has to be, I mean. If not, if it's that he traveled the entire time we were first married, so it's not a big deal. To me, it's not.
Right. But apparently he doesn't want to go back to that. He likes being with you.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
You guys have completely different... You're coming from completely different places in life. You know that, right? But that's okay because you actually make it work.
Well, it's been 30 years. It's not like it's, you know what I mean? But it's just, it's not, to me, I guess I was, when we got married, I'd been divorced for 14 years. So I was very comfortable with being by myself and my son,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm not afraid to be by myself. You know, I can handle it. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. If he travels or not.
Maybe he's the one who's afraid to be by himself.
Well, that doesn't, yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to take up all your time, so.
Just talk to him and see if there's anything that could be done to make that house appealing to him instead of a burden that he would be taking on. And if he doesn't say that it's possible for that to change, you might want to consider, you know, where else you'd want to live.
Well, the only thing I told him was that it has to be on the river. I need the river.
Yeah.
I need the water.
Water makes you feel good. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to have the water. And I said, if you don't want this house, then we have to find property where there's water or another house that has water, because I don't want the ocean. I don't like the ocean. I like the water. I like either a lake or, I mean, the river's fine with me because it's not, you know, it's just so peaceful here.
Yeah.
I had a friend tell me his wife passed away of breast cancer, and after everything, I told Patrick, I said, why don't you just come up and just chill out for us? I said, it's a small town, you'll like it. I said, it's in the mountains, it's peaceful, it's slow, it's, you know. And so he comes up and we're sitting out on the back deck and we're having coffee. And he said, you know, HM, he said, you have a piece of heaven here. He said, this is absolutely breathtaking. And just as he said that, a blue heron came and landed right on the river, right in front of the deck. And I've never seen that blue heron again. And he took back and he said, oh my God, that was Sheila. He goes, look at that. That's Sheila's favorite bird. And I feel
coming
that,
by to say hi.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the wingspan, you know, because they're so, the span of the wings. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. what is that? And then all of a sudden it landed. I said, oh my God, look at that. That's a blue heron. I've never seen one up here. I mean, we're not on the coast. I mean, we're
right.
in the mountains. So I never, I mean, blue herons to me were like, you know, they're more south, you know, like
mm-hmm.
coastal regions. So it just kind of like took me by surprise to see that blue heron just land right in front of on the river. And he just turned and looked and stayed there a few minutes and then just left. And I was like, wow. But anyways, that's my story. I think that's why I'm so comfortable here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, you chat with your husband, but respect his wishes and desires, even if you don't understand them. Still respect them.
Oh, I do. I try.
Oh, good. That's important.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome, and enjoy your wonderful river.
I will. It's beautiful.
Okay.
All right, have a good
Thanks
day.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
You
too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is all one, so I guess it's a private number. And let's see if I can click on it. Hi, who's this?
It's Tricia here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good. Actually, I'm much better today. I was just, you know, I was in that really kind of weird disorientated space yesterday of kind of working out which foot to put forward first. So I'm feeling a
mm-hmm.
little bit more at ease today. So, but I'm still working on trying to put my energy into getting a refinance home loan so I can speed up that process. But, and then some days I just think, should I just continue living here? And then I go, yes, I do want to live here, and then I don't want to live here. So you know, I can't, because I need to move ahead. I like moving at a more rapid pace, and I can't do it because I've run out of financing for it. So it's kind of that catch-22, but I just wanted to see if you have any feelings on that, whether I'm putting my eggs in one person's basket, and it's a loan. You know, the thing is that you deal with a loan officer who sends the information to somebody else who you have no personal connection with, so they just look at crunching figures, no, that doesn't work, pass. So is there somebody that you see that can work in a more positive way, or is she... it's just a matter of moving towards this?
Well, I guess that part of it is that you haven't really decided what you want, because you're going back and forth.
Okay.
What is it that you really want?
I want to get some finance out of my house. I have a lot of equity that I put in it. My house has gone up a lot in value, and I did work on it for 2 years nonstop, pretty much. And so I would like to have the cash flow again. I miss my cash flow.
But is that where you want to live?
I don't know where else I would go.
But it's not like part of you doesn't want to be there.
There's, do you know, for me, is that there's a part of it I love the beauty of the trees, and I love the quietness and the stillness and, you know, things like that, the night. But the other part of me feels isolated. You know, there's not enough movement for me, or I'm not moving enough up here. You know, with connecting with what I want to do, I always felt that it was probably in a temporary situation, whether temporary is 2 years, you know, 5 years, you know, what is temporary? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so it doesn't, when I, you know, when I had a cash flow when I was doing up the house, it was so much easier because when I needed the help, I could just hire somebody and I could move ahead at a better pace. And now it's sort of like every time I go to do a project, I need help with that project before I can finish it, so it goes on hold. And then I go to another one and it kind of, you know, goes on hold because I've run out of that I need to purchase that, you know, is like, is that more important to spend my money on that, or just, you know, so that goes on hold. And I feel like when that energy comes into your space that you feel like you're just on hold, is that what you're picking up?
It's kind of that. It's like that house was the right house for you before because you needed to go through whatever you needed to go through that involved that house and you healing and doing the work that you did. But that house doesn't feel like it's the right place for you to be anymore. It's like it's time for you to move.
Okay. And where do you see the move?
Okay, let me see what they want to show me. They're showing me a big city. I don't really know what city it is that they're showing me, but it's a big city, and you are kind of in the suburbs of a big city. So it's not like you're in the city, but you're close enough that you can get to the city and, you know. Because it feels like right now where you are so far away from where you would get the greatest benefit from. It's like you can make all of these connections living in the suburbs that you can't make where you are now. But you don't really want to live in the big city, and the big city is not really the right fit for you. But this is more of a suburb. And it's not a real crowded, busy kind of suburb. It's actually much more relaxed and open, but it's close enough.
Is it near Los Angeles?
Some city? Oh, go ahead.
Is it near Los Angeles?
That could be the city that I'm seeing. Trying to think when's the last time I saw Los Angeles from this view. I think so, though. So is that some place you would be willing to live?
Well, I left Los Angeles and came up here to the mountains. And so I've been living up here from, you know, like kind of leaving that city life. But there's a part of me, it's just sort of in the energy of career. I don't feel like my career is moving here. You know, like I want to do more promotion and things like that. And I just am not moving ahead. I feel very stagnant.
Yeah, you don't have the connections where you are now. It's like it's too distant for you to really have those connections. But if you
okay.
were living in one of the outer lying areas that was actually close enough, say like 30 minutes of course, in California, I imagine 30 minutes is actually a three-hour drive. But for most big cities, it would be like 30 minutes, you know, for you to go from home to the city and do what you need to do. That feels like you
it's
would be able to do
right
to do
now.
You.
Okay.
And that's part of the whole deal with the loan, because there's a part of you that really doesn't want an equity loan. You actually want to sell the property.
Okay. Is it sellable right now? Is this just...
I just heard a yes when you asked the question.
Okay. Or is it something that I should just rent out, you know, like keep it as an investment and rent?
They're saying either way, there are people who would want to buy it and there are people who would want to rent it. Depends on what you want. Do you want that larger sum of cash so that you can make your choices wherever you're going, or do you want that monthly income that would come from renting?
Right. It's I understand. It does have a lot of good investment possibilities for anybody buying it. You know, it has a renter. Has a guest house that's rented right now, so it's an income property as well as my main house.
Right.
And there's still a lot of things that I would like to do with the house, would like to, you know, include and things like that, but it's just more projects, and I just feel like I get pulled in a direction that I'm not quite sure what is right, you know, things like that. And I just, you know, part of me, Barbara, hasn't been in a relationship romantically for a long time. And I'd like to attract romance, you know, into my life. And I just don't feel a connection up here. I don't want to use the word like too hillbilly, but there's a lot of energy up here that I'm not sort of, I haven't found that person or even seen someone that I could feel like I can connect to in that area. Does that
I
make
think it
sense?
Would do you good to move to like that, like they're showing me the suburban area, to have more interactions with more different kinds of people and go out and have fun and do things that you actually enjoy doing. It was like you moved to where you are now because it was time for you to hibernate, and your hibernation is over. So it's time for you to get back into your own life. And they just keep showing me these pictures of you out interacting, having fun, having dinner, laughing and talking, and living this life that's much more active than the life that you have in this house.
Okay.
So this is saying that this is no longer the house for you to live in right now.
Okay. Can I just have to make a decision whether or not it's a rented property or I do it as a just sell it and move?
Yeah.
Do you see me buying another property or when I move, or I'm just going into a rental situation again? Or
you'll start out in more of a rental is what it looks like, because there's
okay.
So many different things that are going to be falling into place. But first, you're just going to need a place to live.
Okay.
Once things start taking off, then you can decide exactly what works for you.
Okay. And do you see this happening quite quickly, or?
I hear that it is, it depends on you and your decision. You're going to have to decide what you really want.
Okay.
It's like you're in, you haven't really made those decisions. You've looked at this, you've looked at that, well, maybe this and maybe that and maybe, you know, but it's like you really need to decide what you are going for. And then when you start taking the steps for achieving whatever it is that you've decided is most important to you, it will happen quickly. But you have to make those decisions first.
Okay. And, Barbara, and sort of related, I mean, that's kind of almost sort of what you're saying is how I feel. There are days that I wake up and it sort of feels like, okay, this is right. And then there are other days that I wake up and I go, it's just this continuous drool of, you know, I've got to do this now, I've got to do this now. And just even the thought of moving of just like, how am I going to get rid of all of this stuff? Because I just got stuff I don't want. You know, like, or how am I going to kind of like quickly get the house into a more presentable place that it's more sellable? You know, like it's a better market. And that takes time as well. So my daughter wants to come over. Well, she is coming in November. And I'm just wondering if being here in November is better for her than trying to do anything in the next 3 months. You know, it's like it's too much. She would visit me in chaos, you know, like the moving and things.
Well, I don't think that that really matters to her because,
okay,
you know, it's you that she's coming to be with. It doesn't matter the stuff around you, the circumstances and situations. This is all about you, you deciding what's important for you and taking the steps on creating your life. And don't let all of this other stuff, which is not you, keep you from being you. They're saying don't get bogged down in situations and circumstances and what ifs and oh my gosh and all of that kind of stuff. That's not you. You focus on what's important for you.
And Barbara, when I'm going into, like, with my career, what is the next stepping stone in my career?
They're just showing me images of you, like I said, being very active, out meeting people, having dinners, conversations, and creating. I'm not even sure what it is that you're creating. I just see that you're very creative and that this is going to flow and it's going to happen because that's who you are. When you are back in accepting your creativity, your energy, your ability to be. Okay, let's see if they'll tell me anything else. So they're telling me that you have a lot of different possibilities. What is it that you love?
Well, I've written a lot of books, you know, like, and they're just floating around. They haven't kind of like cemented anywhere where they're creating income, kind of momentum. And I just wrote my memoir and I had an article written about me that, believe it or not, it sounds like a crazy figure, but when they did the featured article on me, this man, but he didn't really write the article in the way that I would have written it, but it enticed enough people to look at the article, and it became their number one most looked at article on their website ever. Of 47 million people clicked on my featured article picture and little snippet and opened up the article to read. But it didn't translate into book sales. He didn't have it linked up properly where, you know, people could find it or... And it's sort of... Bobby was, you know, our friend Bobby was telling me, you know, because I was asking him, was there something wrong in the way that it was like the link that went to the next thing. She said, no, it was more like that was the click, click through sort of audience where people just find something, read it next, you know, that kind of, and I'm guilty of that too online, you know, I'll find something and you read a, you know, you spend your 10 minutes there and then you move on. And I'm not happy that I had that much exposure, but I'm just wondering how to get that into more of a momentum.
So can you take that article and put it on your website so that it, so then you can link it up in a way that people can actually, you know, go to the books or wherever it is that you are guiding them to.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing that there's still some potential with working with that article and also looking at the way that it was written, even though you say it was not written the way you would have written it, but look at the way he wrote it to see what it is that people found intriguing about it. They found it intriguing enough to click on it. Look at it to see what that is, and then work with that energy on creating the way you want it to be, producing the results that you want to produce.
Yeah, well, it was also intriguing because it was written, the memoir is about a famous man who a lot of people, you know him and his energy. So I didn't know whether that was, you know, that obviously was part of it as well, a big part of it. So I'm just wondering if there is sort of more of a go with him. I just wasn't quite sure whether his energy was sort of blocking it, you know, like on a psychic level sometimes people. I see my story as having a great potential for a film, as a love story, but it has to work in conjunction with the other person to make it happen, and I'm not quite sure if that's an alignment. So do you see what I'm saying? Like if I was to write a story
I don't see any negative energy. I don't feel anything negative from him.
Okay.
So there's nothing there. It's just getting the energies lined up to what you actually want to create.
Okay.
I mean, it can be lined up so that it'll create more people that will buy the books, which is great. It can also be lined up so that people will see it, the greater potential in it to make
okay.
a movie or whatever it is you want it to move forward into.
Yeah, I mean, even
it's
fictional,
just a matter of lining it up is what I keep hearing. It's about lining up the energy.
Okay. And I wanted to, it's kind of, I know this sort of, is this kind of a, I met a girl online, you know, that I've been following as a friend she's in the industry publishing. She's actually an agent for another person's books and things like that. Now she's created her own kind of publishing company as well with another girl called Beth. And she knows of me, and I've approached her recently to say, you know, this article got a lot of movement. Is there some way that, are you interested in working with me to get it into a bigger arena? And it's sort of like, well, I'm on vacation for 2 weeks and then I'll maybe, you know, have time to look at it. And I just kind of not sure whether it's a polite no. You know, sometimes people don't have the courage to say no. Or it is a yes. And anyway, she said that her partner, Beth, is the one that handles getting stories into film. And they just made a three different storylines that have been sold to producers or you know, in film development, they call it,
mm-hmm.
screen development. And so I approached her because my other book, The Star Seeds, I wrote it as a screenplay, and I wrote Spirit Boy as a screenplay, and I wrote endless screenplays for years and years and years, and they just didn't manifest into anything. So I turned them into the novel, wanting them, now that I have them in the novel, to turn back to the film. So I approached Beth probably close to 2 weeks ago, or feeling close, and I haven't heard back. So is there something there?
Okay, so I'm getting that you should approach Beth again.
Right.
You know, just politely ask if she's had a chance to look at what you sent and what she thought, or if she doesn't have the time to deal with any projects, new projects, if she can recommend somebody who does have the time.
Okay.
That way, if it's something that doesn't fit in her life, she can just up front tell you, okay, why don't you talk to this person? Maybe they can work with you.
Okay.
Yeah, they're talking about you opening up the avenues. So, yeah, approach Beth and ask her. And ask her, you know, give her the opportunity to send you to someone else if she's not the right one.
Okay. Because I sort of, I know that, you know, Barbara, I've been walking this path alone, you know, in that industry. And it's a very hard industry, you know, not hard, it's not hard to put it out there or anything like that, but there comes a time when you need that kind of partnership. You need to start partnering, you know, to move things ahead. And so that's kind of where my energy has been as well. Like, where are the partnerships? Even romantically, you know, where are the partnerships?
Well, I do see that they are there. You are going to be making these connections. I really keep seeing that. They are there, and you are going to be making these connections. So don't doubt that. You know, talk to the people that you're connecting with. And if you have questions, ask them. Don't just assume, you know, that they don't have time for me or whatever. Ask them. Be upfront about it.
Okay. So I've just got a lot of decision making right now.
It sounds like it.
Yes. And whether or not going back to Los Angeles, you know, part time, not part time, or, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe I should get a realtor over here and just start getting some feedback.
I think that would be great, you know, to have ideas of what it is you need to do, if you need to do anything, so that you can only focus on what is actually important and find out what it's worth and whether or not it's worth more to sell it or to rent it or whatever, so that you can make the best decisions for yourself.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work that I need to do to make it to the point where it's rentable, you know, like you're always in that maintenance mode again, where you've got to have someone keeping it up into that maintenance, where if you sell it, it's just like take it as is and you just walk away from that freedom. And I noticed the other day, you know, like I started to have rose bushes that were my love and my dream in the garden just started to die. You know, the moles got them and the gophers. And it kind of upset me. And I just thought, why are these dying on my watch? You know what I mean? Like, is that part of the symbology of me, time to move? You know, when things start changing, like seasons and things, you know, you get that kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, I have a lot of work and, you know, I mean, I can do a lot of things that visually can tidy it up to make it look really, you know, good and presentable, and kind of move on from there and just have more freedom. I think I'd like, you know, like a really decent cash flow. One thing is that I'd like to have a really nice car. It's like, that's like one of my upgrades. It's not that my car is not good. It's just I've had it for many, many, many years. And I keep thinking it would be so nice to have a nice new car that I can actually travel. you know, I can get in the car and travel. So, and do something like that. Do you see me, like, living alone when I'm looking at a place to buy, I mean, to rent, or?
They're not really showing me where you're living, except that it's kind of suburban, and whether or not you're living alone because you're so busy going out and meeting all of these people. They're just showing me you're active, so I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
You can see if that feels like what you want.
Okay. I think I've just been getting some of my answers to life's questions right now, because it's sometimes you I know I should sing your headline. You know, I do like my home, and I have enjoyed my home. But I think that my spirit here is outgrowing it. You know, I feel that it's stifledness. And so I think that's pretty much kind of how it feels to me right now. And getting it moving in that area, because I just feel like I need movement. I need movement with my work. I need movement with income. I need movement with money coming in. It's sort of, I've just spent so much giving out, you know, giving out. And not disillusioned or anything like that, but just, you know, giving out all the time and just seeing the same people around me all the time that I'm not connecting with. They're not people that I would say, you want to come over and have dinner. There's only one couple of people that I've met that I felt like that. And the rest of them, I have no inspiration to invite anybody to my property. And yet I have this beautiful property. And so it's sort of that vortex that I have to move ahead with. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
You are welcome. And I'm sure that everything will be great.
Yeah, and I will put out the feeler to Beth. I want to do it when I'm in the space where it's coming back in a more positive way. But I just, you know, there's not a dislike or anything like that, but in this industry, you can't move ahead in the film industry without agents opening a door. It's almost...
Right.
You know, I would love to sit down and have an hour's conversation with Jim Carrey. I mean, like Jim, I've got this really cool movie, you know, and I see you playing the wizard, you know, like you're just the perfect Merlin in the whole movie. And he could read the book and go, yeah, I really like that. That's a great franchise, you know, but you can't meet him sitting on a hill all by yourself.
That's true.
You just don't cross paths with someone of that magnitude. And you can't sort of get a knock on the door of anybody because you're not around anybody. And it seems that my synchronicity in life was much bigger down the hill than it is being up the hill.
Yeah.
And,
great. See, you're thinking ahead now, so now you can take the action.
Yes, yes. So, but I've always had this, you know, I look at it, Barbara, is that I became like my own apprentice in writing screenplays.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, you know, back, this is going back in 1998. Actually, after my sister died, I came back from New Zealand and thought, that's it, I'm selling my shop. I'm stopping this career. I'm going to go and sit on another hill and write. And I moved to the hill and wrote. And I wrote and wrote and wrote. And I just kept writing screenplays. And I could never get anybody to move with them. It was just, and I kept saying, why are you giving me all of these downloads? You know, when you start to see the characters and visions, and they come to you like, I want you to tell a story, I want you to tell a story kind of energy. And you start channeling the story with so much energy and so much creativity. And it would be explosive. and exciting, you know, like my energy level is so exciting when I'm in that state of total imagination, you know, and then it just stops. I can't, and I don't mean can't, but I could never connect to the next person that would pick it up and run with it and go, wow, this is possibility. And even today, I was telling this lady Beth in an email that in the film industry with my novel, but I also have a lot of screenplays. I've got screenplays that people have never seen, that in a visionary way, they're way, way ahead of what the market is. And so I would join groups where they pitch things and they do things and they look for projects and we're looking for this type of screenplay. And they'd have a list of, you know, 10 people looking for screenplays. And I'd go through the list and I'd go, no, that doesn't work because they want murder thriller. No, that doesn't work. They want horror, you know, killer. No, that doesn't work. They want, you know, espionage. You know, it's like, the whole market was always looking for things that I wasn't writing. And
right.
So I was sort of like in that visionary space where when you're ahead of the group, it's really, it's, I don't like using the word hard, but it's like the windy road just sort of goes nowhere. And then I go back to, Spirit, why did you put this in my pathway? Like, why am I downloading these stories if they're not going to go anywhere? Or do I have to wait and wait and wait for the market to catch up? And then, I don't know whether you notice this in spirituality, but it's like I look at someone like yourself or Bobby or different people that have been on the spiritual journey for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're presenting all of this amazing information, but they're not hitting that mainstream. They're like on the little trickle stream. And then you get a scientist that comes out, you know, dies and sees the afterlife, and suddenly they're on the stage of the arena of being the spokesperson for that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes because they're scientists, but they just woke up in a 10-minute event, and suddenly they're propelled out into the world as a spokesperson for what you or other people have been doing for 40 years, who seem to always stay in the background. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And, yeah, I've come to the realization that each of us is here to experience what we have chosen to experience. And not everybody really wants to be standing out there in front. It takes a while for us to actually accept the fact that we can be the ones standing out there. There's usually some part of us that's afraid of being seen, of being known, and it holds us back. And we have to learn to accept that that is there and to let it go before we can move forward. So it's one of the reasons why guidance is always saying don't compare yourself to anybody else, because there's really no comparison. You are you. You are unique. There is no one else exactly like you, and you will do what is right for you in the moment that you decide to do what is right for you. And it doesn't matter if it happens when you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 70s, your 90s, your 120s. Whenever it happens is when it happens. And there's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just that's when you decided that it was okay for you.
Okay. No. I really don't do the comparison thing like that. But I do notice that in this industry or this, you know, field is very dominated by the male. And, I mean, there's a radio show I nearly got onto, but I didn't. And then I'm not sure if it's in limbo or whatever. But then I look at the gentleman that has the show with a huge audience, and it really does make a difference to your career. I mean, it's sort of like your resume goes up 10 spots, you know. But then I look at it, I follow another author, and he's bringing out 4 books a year that are just very repetitive information, what I call research information. And he's constantly, you know, brings out a book, boom, he's on the show, boom. And so he gets propelled out there. And it's very much like a boys' club. It's sort of like 90% of his guests are male, and you know, maybe 5 or 10, you know, like float around with females. It's sort of, there is very much that energy.
And well, you know, that energy is shifting, though, now, too, and the feminine energy is becoming stronger. So many women are changing. They're not staying in the background anymore. And it's that way with every part of life. So that is changing. It used to be that it was always the men and that the women just didn't even have the right to be out there. And it's all changing. And you're just living in the time of that change.
That's probably what I have always noticed, you know what I mean? Because I always see things that are more ahead than behind of patterns and things like that. And I always saw that as a pattern. And it sort of, it's kind of like that in the film industry too. You know, it's almost like now they're kind of trying to create the ratio of female directors, you know, like female directors are 5% of the films, female producers, female money makers, females. That could actually change this sort of industry. Or, and my motive in life is always to put out things that enhance, you know, that someone can go and watch something or read something and it totally enhances you. And most of what's out there, and even the people, I know I wasn't attracting them because they were always in that vibration of who can we kill on screen? And I'm one of those people that is, you know, if you want to stop the killing, you got to stop showing the films that everybody's killing somebody. Like it's the normal. And it's sort of like you can't, if you support an industry, if you buy a gun, you're supporting the Illuminati kind of mentality that makes the warfare. Even though you can say, well, I just need it for my own protection, you're still in that mentality that you need protection that way. You know, and so you have your gun that you don't like that war mentality, but you have it sitting in your bedside table just in case. And it's sort of like, so you've either got to say you don't do it or you support it, but you can't be either or. And so that industry was always more in that field than that field. And, you know, it's really kind of, Barbara, I have a friend that died who's a screenwriter a few years back. And I had a very strong vision of him one day. I was outside and I started talking to him. And I walked back and my whole house stunk to shave lotion. I mean, it was so powerful that I actually had to walk out of the room. And so I went back to him. And I said, I went back to that whole, you know, like where he was from. And I thought one day about Ron Howard. And Ron Howard, for some reason, from Imagination Films or Imagine Films, I'm not sure it's either or. And I've always had a connection to him. You know how you kind of connect to people and you go, wow, I really like that energy. And some of the films that he's done have been more in that energy than the total destruction. And we're born on the planet only 5 days apart. So as a soul group, we came to the planet in that same time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? So anyway, I go to IMDb one day and I'm looking at all of his credits because I'm getting a really strong rapport with him. And I went down, and as I'm going down the list, I'm going, yeah, I know that one. No, yeah, I know that film. Oh, yeah, I remember. Oh, he did that film. Oh, he did that film. And way down the list was this film called, I'm not sure of the exact name, but it had the word pyramid in it, like the triangle pyramid or something like pyramid. And mm-hmm. I went, oh, I wonder what he did with that film. And so I clicked it open to see the credits. And the credit was my friend Herb wrote the movie with him about these little kids in time travel, and they ended up in Egypt and a pyramid and whatever. And I'm going, wow, this man Herb was really in love with me. Didn't work out. He was in a relationship and married and things like that. So it would never have worked out like that unless he'd left his wife. But it was sort of like, wow, I'm picking up this Ron thing. And now I'm seeing that Herb is connected to this Ron thing. So now mm-hmm. I click Herb's IMDb, which I never really looked at when he was alive. And because I knew him in the late 70s, 80s, when this occurrence happened. And around that time, he was writing Star Trek episodes for Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very visionary and very out there. He used to call me his druid princess. He always felt that we were druids together in some past lifetime. And so I'm looking at it and I went, wow. During that time, I ended up being invited to Paramount Studios to pitch for the licensing deal for jackets for Star Trek the movie. And I ended up walking out with a deal. I just still raised money, but it all, like, those things just fell into place really quickly back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing Star Trek, and he was doing, see the triangle?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting when you start to sometimes dissect these relationships that you're already, you know, like, the old saying of 7 degrees of separation, you know, that, or six
right.
degrees, you're already 6 degrees. I think when you're really in alignment, it's really only 1 degree. It's just we're sometimes out of alignment. We've got to go through the steps to get to where it is. But I never put that whole package together that he was, and whether or not I was picking up on that Ron Howard. And I've always sort of thought I'd love to get him to read my book. Because somebody's going to, you know, I always sort of have that feeling someone's going to read it and go, wow, this has the potential of being in that film, you know, the next kind
yeah.
of film.
Yeah.
And whether he's part of that soul group, you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at it like that. So do you pick
yeah,
anything up? It's vibration or?
Well, when you talked about him reading the book, I thought that was a really good idea. I'm not really sure how you get him to read it.
Yeah, well, I have to get my friend Herb in spirit to to hand deliver him one in a dream.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, just to, you know, when you send, you cannot send somebody like him a screenplay because they're in a guild that is part of the guild is not accepting it. It has to go through an agent. So getting it to
right.
an agent for him to read is almost like knocking on those doors that just really don't open that frequently. But I often thought maybe I should just randomly send a book to his office. Because the book is already published, so it's not something they can... They have this stupid clause, which is a lot of times, even one of the biggest film producers that said he'd never treat people in the film industry the same way made me sign a an agreement with him that if he decided to write something that was similar, I basically couldn't sue him. And I never heard back whether he read it or he didn't read it. But when you publish a book, it's already published and sold and things like that. Even if you're selling 1 or 10 copies, it doesn't really matter. It's a published mm-hmm. work, and then a screenplay is based on the published work. So I was thinking that at one point, about a year or so ago, I had this vision of, like, maybe I should send him a book that just arrives in his office that may end up sitting on his desk, that he may end up picking up going, what's this? And
yeah,
then read it. Versus me sending a letter, look, if you don't want the book, could you just please give it to a kid that may enjoy the book? Don't throw it away. Like, because sometimes it's not necessarily the best seller, it's the best story.
Right.
So
yeah.
That was...
maybe you could just send him a copy of the book and put it in the hands of the angels and let it happen.
And let it happen and see if it can get some momentum that way. But you see, going back to Barbara, the story, what I was telling her about this woman, Beth, who is in mm-hmm. kind of like agent, publisher kind of in the industry, she... those people have the ability just to pick up the phone and make a call and say, I am this person, and the door is open. So,
right.
And they benefit by it. You know, they're in commissions and, you know, it's not something, and it's something that can happen quite quickly because it's sort of like an instant seller. You know, they can
mm-hmm.
make film deals very quickly versus building up the momentum of a best-selling book, you know, is
right.
almost, you know, can take days or years. Or, and you look at films like that Pie story that came out, you know, with the one with the African lions and the little Indian story and the Indian boy and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
The
I know which one you're talking about.
I mean, that was a book that was published 10 years before it ever became a film.
Yeah.
So there is that, you know, time and distance, what does it really mean in the end? But I've felt like I've been put on that path to do this. That was part of my calling. And I just want to kind of like get that momentum going again.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Well, get your stuff moving then. Decide what you want and start taking the necessary steps.
And
trust that you will be guided.
Yes, yes. And thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Teresa.
Yeah, and I will give this a lot of contemplation and things like that. And I think I'm just ready now. I've done the experience. I always wanted to own a home, do it up, change it, do whatever I wanted to it. And even though it's not, it's like 80% done. I think I am getting ready to walk away from that commitment. You know, that commitment is really big. I mean, I'm like at the point right now that I just like to have a little tiny, tiny, tiny house and not the
mm-hmm.
big, you know, with the guest house and the
yeah.
full lot, things like that, that I'm going back to wanting something small again.
Well, that's great.
And,
see, you
and,
know what you want. Now you can just make it happen.
Yes, unless somebody wants me to move into their mansion with them. No, I was just kidding.
Well, that works too.
Yes, that's my other alternative. All right. Well, I love you. Thank you. And you take care. And
you
thank
too,
you
please.
So much for the time today. Barbara, I really felt like I needed to talk this through with someone, and thank you for being my ears.
Oh, you are welcome.
All
and
right.
Enjoy your day. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, now we are going to the caller from area code 630. Hi
Barbara.
Is...
It's Mia. I want to tell you I got a job.
Yay!
And there wasn't any interview questions, believe it or not. Like, it's more like this is your hour, this is your department, and HR will call you with paperwork.
Wow. It was easier than you ever expected, huh?
No, I didn't expect it like to go in and would be this easy. Where the past interviews was, tell me about yourself, what's your strength, what's your weakness, and it wasn't anything like that.
Well, great. That is wonderful. Well, we really did shift your energy then. Wonderful.
Right. I don't have to drive too far. I don't have to drive to out-of-town interviews. I don't even have to move.
Well, wonderful.
I don't know the pay, but HR will call me with the pay.
I'm sure it will be perfect.
Okay. Can we shift the energy to make it perfect pay?
Okay, let's see if there's anything that we need to shift about that. Okay. So would you like a Divine Infinity Healing for accepting that you can receive even more than you've ever imagined as far as getting paid for the job that you do? And this Infinity Healing is going to release any beliefs in you that say, oh, I can't afford that, I can't make that, I don't know enough to make that, I don't have the experience for them to pay me that, and instead put you into that energy that says, I know my value, I know my worth, I deserve to get paid, and to get paid more than enough for the work that I do.
Yeah.
It is okay for me to have more than enough. Okay, that's a big one for you. Let's see what else there is around that. And so this Divine Infinity Healing energy is also going to go through and find any energies that are attached to you from any body or any place else that say you can't have more than enough. And it's going to let all of that go. I can just feel it. It's just opening up and expanding and drifting away now. So if you are ready to accept this new job and to make more than enough money to meet all of your obligations and all of your desires, then say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths.
Okay.
Okay. How does that feel?
Wow. Feels so light.
Wonderful. Yay.
Yes, I'm just so excited how everything is going so easy.
That's how we want it to go. We are the ones that create that it has to be difficult, but now you're creating that it happens. It happens quickly. It happens easily. It just flows. It's magical. It's wonderful. Oh, that's such a nice place to live in.
Oh, wow. Right. There's no need to be hard and difficult.
Exactly. Well, great.
Oh, well, I will talk to you tomorrow. I got your, I went on Facebook and found all the information.
Oh, that's right. Tomorrow's Wednesday. That's when that other thing is. Well, great. Well, wonderful. We will be doing a lot of work on a lot of things, and it'll be opening up everybody, and so it'll just open you up even more, which is great.
Yeah, it's such a short time because I talked to you maybe 2 weeks ago when I first started the Infinity Healing, and I already got a job.
Well, you know, things don't have to take forever. They can happen quickly. The more open we are to actually allowing the good stuff into our lives, the faster it happens. So you've been doing a great job of just opening up and letting in the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't have to take months and months of searching.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just allowing all this goodness to come.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
and,
expect more and more great things.
That makes me feel so good, too, because that prayer, I got up, I did the prayer, and then on my way there to the interview, I did that prayer. So before the interview, I did the prayer, and my gosh, the interviewer was just so nice. She came down with a big smile and just handed me the job.
Wonderful. See, you were really opening up. Most people go through their lives feeling very constricted, very small, very confined. You are willing to be open. You are willing to expand and to allow all of the opportunities to come into your life. And it makes such an incredible difference. So I am so glad that you're experiencing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm ecstatic. Like, what is next now?
Hey, that's up to you. Whatever you want to create.
Mm-hmm. I want to create more money.
Well, that's what we just worked on, so you can expect that now too.
Okay. And if it happens so quick like this, it's so exciting.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm so glad that you let me know, and you just keep creating all of those magical things in your life, because that's what you're here for.
Wow. Thank you so much, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just totally love you and all this awesomeness.
Aww, thank you.
That you're doing.
Well, I love you too, and I look forward to finding out what we're going to create tomorrow. So it just gets better.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay, that's the show for today. Thanks to everyone who called in and was a part of it. And I will be back on Friday with Elizabeth. So everyone, start opening up to your own life and creating what you truly desire. It is possible. And everybody keeps telling you it's possible, so it's time for you to listen. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.